Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator, passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast with me, Lisa DeYoung. And today I am here with Adriana. Adriana, I forgot to ask you, how do I pronounce your second name correctly?
Good question. A lot of people get it wrong, but it's Tanto. But really, I'm pretty sure, yeah, Tantau, like the T-A-U makes sense, right? But
yeah,
I don't know.
I thought it was Tantau, but that's interesting that it's actually pronounced Tanto. There we go. Yeah. Okay, Adriana Tanto. So Adriana is a graduate from the Menstrual Coach Academy from last year and is also the host of, I recently saw, was it the Cycle Codes podcast relaunched, right? So formerly the PMDD podcast. And I know a lot of you are big fans of her work and you might already know her. So I'm so excited to get chatting with Adriana today. And you're so welcome. How are you doing today? I know it's evening there for you.
I just feel very, very honored to be here, Lisa, chatting with you. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah. Would you like to introduce yourself? Who you are, what you do, whatever comes to mind, Adriana.
I have to keep reminding myself, I'm a mum, like, you know, first and foremost, I'm a mum. And it's such a gift to be a mum, especially, you know, we're a bit older as well. I'm 41 and I've got a 14-month-old. So that's really, really special to me. I'm a podcaster, which is probably like my favorite gig in the world. If I could just do that full time, I would. It brings me so much joy. And yeah, and it just sounds so funny when you said, you know, I'm a recent graduate. I graduated from, you know, the Menstrual Academy. And I just love being in this space. I'm still very, very new to like the coaching aspects of it, but it's so cool to be finally stepping into something that I've wanted to do for so long.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, Adriana. Thank you. Thank you for introducing yourself. And I love hearing the joy in your share and what's happening for you and your creativity, everything that you're bringing out into the world, including your family. Yeah. So tell me, I would love to start with your podcast, because that I can see, you know, when you talk about that, you really light up. And what I'm really curious about is, well, firstly, for anyone who isn't familiar with your podcast, you might briefly introduce your podcast, but I'd love to hear how you came to create that. What was the drive? What was the inspiration that led you there?
Yeah, so you're right. It's called The Cycle Codes now. It did evolve only just recently. It evolved from the PMDD podcast. And in a nutshell, you know, I was diagnosed with PMDD. I went through a journey with that, which I'm happy to talk about a bit later. But what really came down to it, when I started getting symptom free, I think there was still just this anger in me, this anger that there wasn't more people talking about it. So this would have been about 4 years ago. And what got me even more angrier was there wasn't an Australian voice talking about it. And, you know, I just got this download. I'm like, well, if you're angry about it, like, do something about it. So in a matter of a couple of weeks, I got the equipment, very bare minimum, and just started interviewing people. That was the easiest way. You know, for me to do solo podcasting is really, really difficult, but the interviewing, and I feel like I am so grateful and blessed. I have been able to interview some of the, you know, really key leaders in the PMDD space over the years. And I thought this was going to be such an amazing tool for everybody out there, which it has. I've had some amazing reviews and people contacting me how much this podcast has truly been able to give them the permission slip to really feel seen and heard. But I didn't realize how much of a healing journey it was going to be for me. as well, and for how much it allowed me to feel seen and heard. So that's been a really big gift from that. And I guess when I graduated and went back to the podcast, there were a few episodes, I'll be really vulnerable about this, there was a few episodes that I recorded, and there were some professionals quite well known in the space that, you know, were just so adamant that PMDD was not curable, like, you know, because there isn't no solid, you know, evidence out there. You know, I'm here sitting here today, somebody that truly went through the depths of PMDD, and I'm symptom free. Like, I'm not suffering from, I'm not, and I don't want to say that I'm cured or anything like that, but I don't suffer. Like, I don't, like, I know what the pits of hell feel like when you're in PMDD, and I don't feel that anymore. Yes, I have bad days. Yes, I still, you know, can feel the effects of PMS and everything, but when I was recording those episodes, like, I didn't actually end up releasing them. I got in touch with them afterwards, and I just said, I'm sorry, but it's just not in line with where I'm at with the, you know, the values of the podcast. That's, you know, I still want people to feel like there's hope. There is other options out there. And so I really, yeah, I just take a step back from the PMDD podcast, and I just, something wasn't sitting right. And I realized that I actually want to start talking about more broader subjects than just PMDD. I was feeling very like niched in, and I know that, like, it, as from a marketing point of view, it's really good to niche down, but for me to really expand where I wanted to go next, I really wanted to open up more conversations around the menstrual cycle, from, you know, fertility and postpartum and all, you know, and all in between, and obviously perimenopause, because that's, you know, I'm 41. So these are the conversations that I'm having with my friends. It's very, very real life. And a lot of them are not suffering from PMDD. They're, you know, they're experiencing a lot of the other sort of symptoms. So I guess that's where the cycle codes are sort of evolved from. And I'm just loving it. It's just, oh yeah, it's so great to now open up. So, and I've, you know, so many people that I've wanted to have on the podcast, and I was like, oh, how do we, like, you know, spin it so that it's a bit more PMDD, and we haven't been able to really get it. But now we get to just have those conversations, and it's just, yeah, it just lights me up.
Oh, I can see you're so lit up. I know you're like, if you're listening, she's very lit up. And if you're watching, you can see. So I just love it. I love it so much. And I know that you said, like, from the marketing point of view, it doesn't, like, quote unquote, make sense. But I think the best marketing is when we're in alignment with your soul self, you know, your creativity, you're like channeling the inspiration, you're, you know, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And you're really tuned into your business intuition. That's what I'm seeing from you, your creativity, your, the podcast, the intuition of the podcast, it itself is like having a new life, you know, and wow, that's so exciting. Congrats on the relaunch. And thank you for sharing that story as well, Adriana, about the guests that, you know, the message at least that those guests were offering and how it didn't align with your truth and your experience. And then, you know, obviously me too, and the things I've experienced and that I see every week in my work as well. And I know you do as well. And you hear a lot of stories from people. So I might actually go there, you know, let's go to that piece around like that. Okay. There's a few pieces there. There's the fear around PMDD, and in the Menstrual Coach Academy we talk about this a lot, where, you know, there is a lot of uncertainty in this space because there isn't black and white clarity, and it's not like this is the way for everyone to heal and this is just what you do. And then there's all this gray area, and then everyone's experience of PMDD is like so different. And then there are people who do heal, and then people who are still struggling, and, you know, it's just very, it can be very, very complex. I'd love to, with all that in mind, I'd love to hear more about, like, yeah, your journey with it and how you came to find that relief and peace with your cycle for yourself, and maybe what it was like before that.
So I truly believe that I was suffering right from when I got my period, probably before. Now I'm starting to, to understand a bit more about menarche and everything, where, the symptoms start before we even start bleeding. And I just there I yeah I was just such an on and off child. I was either really, really great or really, really sad. And there was lots of there was quite a bit of trauma that went through that I experienced as a child. And I guess throughout my teens and my 20s, I really masked all of that with drugs and alcohol. So I don't really remember, but I remember being very high or very, very low. And when I got really, really low, that's when I would party, harder or drink more and really just numb myself as much as possible. And it wasn't until I got sober when I was 35 that I really had to face everything. And that's when I really, like, when you don't have a crutch, if you don't have alcohol or drugs, you're really having to experience everything. And I remember just having that conversation to myself. I'm like, there's something here that needs to be addressed, something. And I remember when I had probably the lowest moment, and I was so scared. A lot of us in the PMDD community call it doomsday because everything just shuts down around you. And for me, it was just this really, it's like everything turned off, and all I could hear was this voice saying to me, "You're not needed here anymore. Your time's up. You don't matter." And it wasn't like in a nasty way. It was kind of just this gentle, like, leading me down the path of somewhere where obviously I, was I'm just like, what's going on? But I had already been a meditator for 5, 6 years at that point. Yeah, I think, yeah, about 5 years. And I knew the voice. I knew about this voice. And I'm like, that's not me. That's something else talking to me. So I was so grateful that I had this inner knowing that that wasn't me and this needed to be explored. And I remembered from that, yeah, I just shut down and the next day I got my period. And at this point I hadn't clicked yet. And I still didn't have this awareness. I had, and up until this point, I honestly had no awareness about menstrual cycle, like menstrual cycles. I don't even think I knew that it was a 4 week thing. Like, it just came sometimes and it didn't. I always had really irregular periods. They were debilitating as well in terms of pain. So, I'm undiagnosed, probably endometriosis or something. And for the next 3 months, I just remember being this is, and before I always thought there was something wrong with me, but now because I didn't have drugs and alcohol to mask all of it, I really started going into this black hole, being like, oh my gosh, there's something really wrong with me. And I was too scared to go to the doctor because I was terrified that they were going to give me a bipolar disorder diagnosis. And all I had going on in my head was like, you're just like your mum. Mum was quite unwell with, mental health all her life. Very, like, we all think that she definitely had PMDD and definitely had some sort of endometriosis or something due to her debilitating pain as well. And so it was just this belief going, oh God, someone's just going to diagnose me. I'm going to be put into the loony bin. I'm going to be put onto medication for the rest of my life. And everyone's going to be like, she's just like her mum, And I can't, oh, that's right. I went to the dentist. I had my period at this point, and I remember really clearly the dental nurse asking me how I was that day. And I said, oh, I'm great. I've just double dropped some pain relief. And she said, what are you taking pain relief for? And I said, oh, my periods are so bad. They are so painful. And I actually think that this is the first time that I ever voiced it. I don't know why I felt so comfortable with the dental nurse, but here we are. And she grabbed my hand and she said, you know that that's not normal. And I just looked at her and said, what do you mean? I don't understand. Like, my mum had, painful periods. Isn't that just like normal that some of us just have it? Anyways, She put me onto a Chinese doctor, and she said, "This guy is like a fertility genius, and he knows all about menstrual cycles. I would highly recommend you go see him." And within 2 minutes of seeing this guy, he'd said, "Do you think that you might have PMDD?" And from that moment, my whole world just, it just felt like it cracked open. It felt like my shoulders just finally, like, just released this exhale. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is what, like, I don't want to say this was what was wrong with me, but this is it. This is like, this is the missing piece in my life that I've been seeking. I had no idea what the journey was looking like after that, but already I just felt relieved that I wasn't going crazy, that this was something. And that was at the end of 2019. COVID happened, and it was almost like this permission slip. Like, I went to a lot of different doctors because I went, like, I was doing some acupuncture, and I was like, no, I need this to be fixed now. I don't have time for this. I don't have time to wait around. So I went to all these GPs, but I was adamant that I didn't want to take any drugs. I didn't want to be back on the pill. I definitely didn't want to be on antidepressants or anything. And I certainly wasn't going to go down surgery or anything like that. And I went to two very, very highly rated GPs in my area. And there was a PMDD specialist and, yeah, a GP, a women's health specialist, GP specialist. And both of them, when I said to them, I refuse to take drugs. Like, I have been self-medicating myself my whole life. I've been on antidepressants. I used to take drugs like pills and everything. I refuse. This is like, that will trigger me. Taking any type of medication triggers me. They said, I remember one saying back to me, "Well, then you're just going to have to suffer." I just was like, what? I think I laughed. And I was like, oh, great, just put me through to reception. I'll pay and I'll just, you know, because I remember it was COVID, so everything was online at that point. So I remember just feeling really lost in that moment, but something within me knew that there was a lot of inner work that needed to happen and that I could do this. I just had a belief. I just knew in my bones that if I did all the things that I knew that I needed to fix. How do I say this? So it's like, I need to clean up relationships. I needed to clean up my diet. I needed to actually exercise. I needed to go hardcore with my meditation. I needed to do breath work. I needed to regulate my nervous system. Like, I knew that all these things I needed to do. And once I had felt like I had was on top of all of that, and I still was experiencing PMDD symptoms, then yes, let's flirt with other ways, you know, of other methods. And my old self, my fitness self was, you know, usually would be somebody that would take it all on and be like, yeah, so tomorrow we're getting up at 6 a.m., we're doing all the things, we're going to eat healthy. But something again spoke to me and just said, no, you're just going to pick the lowest hanging fruit and you're just going to start there. And once you feel like you're on top of that, then we go to the next one. So each month or 2 months, we'll just take on another piece of fruit. And I decided, I remember my first one was my spirituality. I knew that I could really hone in on that. I doubled down on my meditations, you know, turning off the phone, no distractions, being with myself, having like really tuning into like breath work and all of that. And I just felt like I was moving 1% per day. Was I experiencing symptoms? Yes, I was, you know, but they felt like they, in the beginning, they went for 2 weeks. And then suddenly the next cycle, it went for 13 days and then 12 days and then 11 days. And it just got less and less and less until the end of that year when I really cleaned up my diet. I was also getting network chiropractics, which is where they really work on your nervous system with no manipulation. And I remember this practitioner said to me, because obviously I was still experiencing painful periods. He said to me, tomorrow you're not like, he's like, when are you due for your period? And I said, oh, tomorrow. He said, you're not going to feel any pain. And I was like, I Again, I laughed. I was like, you kidding me? Like, I wasn't on just Nurofen Plus, like ibuprofen. I was on prescription at that point. And he said, you're not going to need it. I promise you. And I didn't. Like, I felt like this uncomfortableness. But he just said, if you feel uncomfortable, just breathe through it. I was like, what? What do you mean? And I did. And that was the first time ever that I had experienced like minimal pain, like very little discomfort, and no PMDD symptoms. And I was like, wow, like this is magic. Like, wow, it's totally possible, you know, but I still have to do the work. It's not as, it doesn't feel as hard as it did in the beginning, because now it's just second nature to me. All the things that I've put now into my toolbox, let's say.
Oh my God. Adriana, your story. I'm getting chills just listening to this. It's so powerful. You know, the common thread that I'm really hearing strong through everything you're sharing, including your creativity, is you listened to your intuition. Like you kept saying, there was something inside of me that was telling me this, this, and this. And instead of feeling like a victim, you chose to take aligned action that was scary and different. So I really want to like commend you for that, because that's not easy. And I know the people listening to this, we all have that. We all have that voice inside of us that is like knocking on the door, and it's so easy to ignore it or dismiss it or rationalize it off or not do the thing because it's too uncomfortable or scary or takes too much time. But I know Adriana and myself are really cheerleading you to listen to that, you know, because there is another way, and we're both evidence of that. Like I have like a similar kind of theme in my story too. I also sit here as someone who was diagnosed with endometriosis. And it wasn't the surgeries or the medications that healed me. It was the inner work, which I now call the menstrual cycle mastery skills, you know, these internal skills. And it is 100% possible. And it just goes to show the power of somebody in authority saying something isn't possible to a young, vulnerable girl or woman. And then the same thing, somebody in authority speaking hope to your body, right?
I think, you know, these beliefs that we have from when we were in childhood, I feel like that's where some people, and it's no fault to anyone, but this is where I believe there's some people that will take the road where they're like, stick the finger up, you know, the middle finger, and just like, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to try it. I'm going to beat this. I'm going to try it my own way. And there's other people that, you know, will just take on that authority and be like, oh, okay. And there's no right or, like, I'm not saying there's any right or wrong, but it's like, it's that innate, you know, belief within. And going back to talking about how, you know, this listening into your intuition, this is such a big practice of mine. Like, I have been a meditator now for 10 years. It's something that is so important to me. And I feel like the way to listen to your intuition, there are so many different roads to get there. I feel like there's so many different methods, but for me, it's been meditation and now a bit of breath work as well. And if I, otherwise I just walk around like I'm on autopilot all the time if I don't have this practice, you know. And that's, you know, people are like, oh, well, how do you listen and everything? I'm like, I wake up every morning at 5 o'clock and I meditate before my son gets up. Like, it is so, so important to me to have that, to be able to listen in to that inner voice, because it has so much wisdom. And that's why I really loved your course, because I didn't realize how well I was listening, and you know, until you sort of explained everything in a way that I was like, oh, that's what I'm doing. This is amazing. But and obviously I was able to, upgrade all my skills through your course. You know, and that's essentially what I think it is being able to listen and be quiet and not be scared either about, you know, and not be scared of what you hear.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so powerful, Adriana. Like to listen and not be scared of what you might hear. That's, yeah, just wanted to repeat that there. There's such power in that. And that you could say that for oneself and then in the course from other people, right? When you're people listening to this who are interested in learning and training, coaching and facilitating, it is because of all the uncertainty and the messiness in the menstrual and the fear, all the fear in the menstrual cycle space. When you're sitting opposite somebody who's going through what Adriana was going through, and you don't know yet what's going to happen or where it's going to go, that can feel scary as a coach if you don't know what you're doing, right? So, yeah, I love that. I have one other question about your meditation practice and how you integrated that in your healing journey. So, when you were saying there about you started with spirituality. You started with sitting with yourself, and the symptoms slowly over time started to wane. When you're meditating, do you sit with feet? Do you like sit with feelings, like consciously, or kind of, yeah, maybe explain a little bit what's going, like, were you processing emotions that were buried?
Not necessarily. So I'm trained as a Vedic meditator,
Cool, yeah.
and you're given a mantra and you're supposed to sit with that mantra through the 20 minutes, twice a day. I only do once a day. I don't have the time. Well, I mean, I'm sure if I made the time, it would be there, but I do one and I feel I'm very happy with that practice. But most of the time, my brain just goes. You know, it does, it wanders, it goes, and I allow it to. I had one teacher I kept going to my group meditations with this same issue. I was like, yeah, but I just keep thinking the whole time. Like, you know, isn't there like in the beginning, I remember I'd feel these glimpses of, you know, where you go into nothingness, but I'm like, I never, they haven't come back. Like, do they ever come back? And she said it in a way that just made me feel at real ease. She just said, you're giving your brain, like you're allowing that time that you're sitting in meditation is you're allowing all the processing to be happening. There's nothing wrong with it. Just allow it to happen. I was like, okay, cool. So we'll just do that. But what I did include in my daily practice, especially in those early days, was journaling. And I think that you spoke about it. Is it journal speak that you spoke, you know, Nicole spoke? I don't think I realized I was actually doing that, and maybe not exactly the same, but I just let it rip on the page. And that's how I was able to process. I'm not somebody that goes back and reads journal
Me neither.
entries. I usually have, yeah, I have no idea. Like, I actually go into another state. I just write and write and write. And it's usually a lot of anger and grief that comes out, and I feel like that was my way of being able to process all the really dark emotions that I had that needed to come out.
Thank you for sharing that, Adriana. That's so interesting. Yeah, because like in my brain, I'm kind of like wondering, like, oh, like, I wonder how you figured out the nervous system regulation piece through the meditation. And the like in the course, we talk about this, the processing of those emotions is really important, isn't it? But I love that you found your way with it. And what I'm hearing is that you found a way to build intimacy with all parts of yourself and sit with all parts of yourself, even when it was uncomfortable, and maybe love all parts of yourself. And as well, there probably was like the maternal stuff coming through too. And there's so many times where I've heard women, my clients, there's been a few instances of my clients where they come for help with PMDD. And when we explore, there is a history of mental health in that maternal lineage and pathologization of, is that the word? Anyway, you know what I mean? of just difficult feelings. And then the mother or the grandmother or the great grandmother being sectioned into these terrible institutions, you know? So it makes sense that, and in one case that did happen to a client of mine, she was in a hospital and she was put in a place she didn't want to be that, and she didn't feel safe there. So, and this is in this day and age in Ireland. And because of that, she completely disassociated from the more uncomfortable emotions, you know, so she didn't have intimacy with her feelings because they were threatening, because when she did and they came out sideways or whatever, and then, and she wasn't, because, you know, when you're doing that processing work, you do move through, like, it doesn't just like stay in the journal, at least not for me. Like when I was really deep in my processing work, I was like really anxious for a few weeks, you know, but you kind of have to like resource yourself to get to that place where you can hold that. And if people see that, who, you know, who think, oh, you're going to be a problem, then it's risky, you know? So I guess what I'm trying to say is that like the healing comes from that emotional intimacy, and but the safety to do it. And then in your case, the consent and the choice and the self leadership with it as well. It wasn't someone wasn't doing it to you. You were going in yourself.
I sure was. I sure was. And, you know, the work never stops.
I know.
You know,
it
doesn't, you know, because a new part comes up, a new part of you. You know, like there was one thing to, like, I felt like PMDD gave me this permission slip to go back and sort of really, you know, dig up everything that hadn't been processed yet or anything. And then you kind of get this clean slate and you're like, great, awesome. Like, what's the new level? And so what was my new level? All right. So that's, you know, a new relationship. And like, whoa. Okay. You know, for somebody that was 39 and hadn't been in a relationship that whole time, I was like, you're taking a lot of stuff into there. And then obviously that person's bringing in their stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize there were more parts of me. And then obviously becoming a mum as well, then all these other parts start coming up. But it does get easier because you've got this toolbox, and you do come at it with so much more compassion, I think, as well. And also, it's almost, and I, you know, my partner probably gets a bit annoyed at me because I just want to unpack everything. I'm like, as once the dust has settled and I've, you know, had a tantrum about something, you know, because we're all human, we all do it. And, you know, the dust settles, like, all right, so let's unpack that. Like, what, and all of this. And he's like, oh God, can't we just let things, you know, just settle for a little bit. But, you know, I don't want things brushed under the rug anymore. I need things I need to face them, because otherwise they come up somewhere.
Yeah.
They come out
sideways. I know. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I really relate to that. I really hear you with the new parts as well. Like, and the work never ends, but the thing is you have the tools. And like, it was the same for me when I got engaged in January. Like we had a couple of weeks of bliss and then I lost my mind. I completely lost my mind. And all of the shit in our relationship came to the surface as well. And I was just like, and I was getting flowers in the door and bottles of champagne. And I was like, this is crazy. What is going on? So if I'm ever a mother, I'm going to be knocking on your door like, what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's never ending. But I think if you want to keep evolving as well, like, you don't, it doesn't have to be a relationship or a baby. Sometimes we just want to evolve.
Yeah.
And once we, you know, like, we want to go next level in our business or something, and you're like, you know, going next level in your business means that you know, there's a level of vulnerability and a increased, like, what am I trying to say? You know, suddenly you're being seen a bit more. If your engagement goes up, if your followers suddenly go up, you're like, oh, there's more people's eyes on me.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, all these other parts start coming
out.
I'm like, good. Yeah.
And the expectation, I know, I really hear that as well with the business. It's like a whole other, you know that too, right? It's like one of the biggest spiritual journeys I've been on is having a business. And now I'm in this place of like learning to accept help and do teamwork better. Which is challenging me on another level too, right?
Big.
Yeah.
Big.
And delegate and pay people and all of that. Yeah. So, oh my God. Okay. So with the course then, I'd love to chat about that with you, because I loved what you said about what I heard was you felt really seen in the course and validated. There was like, you finally had language for what you already knew and what you were already doing. So tell me a bit about, well, why did you decide to take the course at the Menstrual Coach Academy?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I was thinking about it before this episode. I'm like, how did I actually come across you? I actually don't remember. I must have been looking into the courses. I just didn't resonate with anyone in Australia or the US. I looked at a couple, but I think what really stood out for me with your course was just the, and I suppose I was really ingrained in this being trauma informed, and I think I was just kind of started getting exposed to like nervous system regulation. And I was like, this is really interesting. And when I sort of listened to a bit of your podcast and everything, that's when I started realizing that a lot of my healing, the way I was able to heal from PMDD, was actually essentially from nervous system regulation. I just didn't have those words. And so, yeah, your course popped up. I was like, oh no, this is definitely the one that this is the definitely the one I want to do, even though you're in bloody opposite time zones as I am, which I found so difficult. But you know, if anyone's listening from Australia and like thinking of doing the course, like I'll be honest, I wasn't there for the long lectures. The, you know, there were some full day lectures there, which I think I loved. I loved the formatting of having it just in one day. Obviously, I wasn't able to attend it, but I said to when I was in the little process groups and the smaller groups, I voiced regularly. Like, I honestly felt like I was there. Like, I felt like I knew everyone in the course, and I never felt like, yeah, I was all the way over here
Oh,
on this
that's,
remote
thank you. Yeah, thank
island.
you for saying that. That's so beautiful. And I will say that, like, you really engaged with the course. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like you really engaged, and your passion and your enthusiasm and your interest is so evident. And it was clearly this particular course was very aligned with what you were already doing. So I can see why you were lapping it up and connecting with the other people.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't realize until the end how like I'm so grateful that I ended up doing this course, because like what you teach is just you give us the tools to be able to, because like you said, menstrual cycle awareness, like the menstrual cycle is so different for everybody, and the way we learn things are different, and the ways that we actually take on information. So you gave us all, and just the way you ask questions and everything, you just gave us such a, you know, an amazing tool belt of coaching skills where we got to create our own coach, you know, coaching program the way that we want to run it. And sometimes that can feel a little bit scary. Like if you had have tried to sell that to me at the beginning, I probably would have been like, oh no, I don't trust myself to be able to do that. But now that I've been through the course, like I truly feel like I'm like, I have everything that I need. I trust my own intuition that the way that I want to engage in this work and how I want to coach in this work, like I've been given everything that I need. And yeah, and I'm so grateful for that, because if I had have been given some sort of cookie cutter, sort of, you know, one size fits all sort of way of doing things, yeah, I wouldn't, it, yeah, I, again, I would have rebelled.
Oh yeah, I'm the same as you. Yeah, God, we're so similar. Well, you're so welcome, and thank you for saying that. Would you maybe explain in like kind of a couple of examples to someone who's listening, like what you mean by the tools and what you got from the course, if that's easy to do, because I know it's 6 months of work.
Yeah, I don't think anything, like I can't think of anything specific, but it's just, yeah, I'm trying to think. No, I've gone blank. You'll have
Yeah,
to
that's
leave that
okay.
one out.
Yeah, no worries. No, just when you said about like that you're not being given a cookie cutter approach to menstrual cycle coaching, and then you mentioned the tools. Are you referring to
Okay. No,
like the
I
list?
can.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yep. I think the tools that we were given, it's the questions. It's the way that you are able to really hone in on what's actually going on for the person or group opposite you. I mean, you obviously coached us in a group setting, and I saw when people would share their stories, You just have this beautiful, like, way of asking questions that don't feel triggering at all. Like, you could actually watch people receive your question and go and, like, sort of lean back and really think. And you were able just to really unravel what's actually true for that person in that moment, not the surface level, but the, like, the root cause of, the root of what's going on. And I'm still yet to practice all of these, but we definitely have those questions and everything. And I think that that's what I loved. I loved watching you in action with, coaching other students in the course. Like, you just have this natural ability, and I'm probably, a tenth of the way of where you're at. But it's just the list, like, listening skills, I think, was another one, a big one as well, like how to actually listen. So asking really great questions and listening skills are probably, like, the two most important tools that I have gained from that, because by asking the really great questions and being able to listen, you're actually going to get to the core of what's actually going on with somebody.
I love that, Adriana. And you're right. Like, it does, like, I think coaching skills come from a lot of practice and supervision and, experience and taking courses, but mostly from learning. And I think, like, what you're talking about very much is, like, the principles we explored and then how that then looks practically, like how I coach or how you would coach or how Vanessa in the course would coach, but with the same, holding the same principles in mind. Like we talked about with, there's certain principles that we discuss and we play with in the program around listening and tracking our own nervous system. And then we talk a lot about, consent and power dynamics and what a client might be saying on the surface, but what's underneath that and how can we get there. And the thing is as well about, like, the coaching space, I've seen a lot of really great coaches who are great coaches, but their kind of energy is very, like, quite imposing, and almost like penetrative a little bit. Like, it's very like the not gentle, because they're using this very, like, direct approach. And I do think directness is something that we have to, like, I see directness as, like, a tool we employ. But if you're working with people who are scared or angry or, like, there's a lot of trepidation or whatever it is, we have to go in with a lot of gentleness, don't we? And really consent the conversation. And what I see when I do that with my clients is that's really empowering. It's like I just have to sit back and, like, let them come to their own conclusions very often. So yeah, I think that's what you're talking about when it comes to, 'cause it's hard to voice. We do a lot of practice, in the course, and we talk about this and there's worksheets and everything. So what would you say to somebody who is thinking about joining?
Oh, yeah. If you're sitting on the fence, or just even, like, yeah, it's just do it. Like, it's just, if you truly want to embody menstrual cycle awareness, and really not only for your, future clients, but for yourself, because there's so much. I came out of the 6 months with so much more wisdom about myself. And yeah, like we were talking about, like, just the listening skills, not only listening to my body, but listening to other people. Like, I feel like there's just this increased pause, that's happened. And I think what else the course gives you is just this space, and this, it just didn't feel like it was doing, like, you didn't, like, but I just feel, I'm not really selling it too well, too, am
No, it's perfect. I love it. It's not a
I?
doing course, it's a being course, and it's a different way of showing up, right? It's a different way of showing up for you, for yourself and with others. And, like, some of the healing work I've had to do is seeing the way that I'm showing up that I didn't realize, like, even recently in my relationship with Richard, I realized, like, my listening wasn't great actually, and I had to work on that. And but I didn't know that, and it was thankfully some feedback I got. And then, like, because I'm far from perfect, like, like, this is my job and I can coach, but when I'm out in the world and in, navigating messy relationships and my family and all my friends and stuff, it's far from perfect. But going back to what you're saying, yeah, it is a being course, but it's still practical. There's obviously like a lot of skills, and then like the experience you had, you finally had language and tools and lenses and models and a framework for what you were already doing, Adriana.
But now I just feel so much more confident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely, before doing the course, there's no way I would be able to show up like I am today. Like now I'm, you know, it's not just a piece of paper. Like I've just really embodied so much of the work, and it's an absolute blessing to have been not only in your presence, but so many other, like, because obviously you attract, you know, like-minded people, and it's not just about the course. It's like the people that you meet through the course as well. They're just such beautiful, beautiful human beings. And you get to create this beautiful ripple effect across communities. And it's a really special 6 months. And I'm so grateful that I was able to be part of it.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I loved having you there. And it really felt like you were very, very much there. You know, it didn't feel like you were far away at all. I was going to say, did you know that, you probably know this already, but Spandana in India, she's a Vedic meditation teacher.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No,
I didn't
I'll
know
have
it
to
was
reach
Vedic
out to
meditation.
Her.
Yeah, she does. She's trained in that, and she does like retreats and things. And yeah.
Wow. It's such a, it's a very small, small community. So they would know each other as well. So I'll have to reach out to her.
Yeah,
such a
yeah. I was only
practice.
Just chatting to her yesterday, and she said it. She was like, I just clicked there because I didn't know. I practice mostly mindfulness meditation, but the Vedic practices I haven't yet explored. But actually, meditation is how I got into this work as well. That was my call too, was meditation. Yeah, it's another story. But anyway, Adriana, I'm going to leave you because I know it's getting late. And is your little one in bed already, or what time is it for you?
Yes, so it's 7 o'clock on the dot. So he's definitely,
he's
hopefully,
gone.
he's definitely gone to sleep.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Oh. Well, thank you so much, Adriana. It's been such a joy to chat with you and connect with you again. And may we have many other connections and chats, I hope. And I wish you all the best with the new podcast, which I'm excited to listen to. Again, it's called The Cycle Codes, and I'll make sure to link it in the show notes. If people research or look up the PMDD podcast, can they still find it's on the same like platform? Yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah. Just
Great.
kept it all together.
Yeah, I hear you. I did the same with mine, just keep it all together. And anything else you'd like to share?
No, just thank you so much.
You're
And
so welcome.
Yeah, continue what you're doing. It's just
Aww.
amazing. And
Thank you.
yeah, it's been such a pleasure being, in your presence.
Aw, thank you. Likewise, Adriana. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day, everyone, and I will see you very soon. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.